Father, I just thank you that you're the one who sets times and seasons in place for us. And I thank you, Lord, that as we hear from your words this morning, that we would be encouraged to know that you are in control and that you are trustworthy. I just pray you'd speak to our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. I started working at the pharmacy when I left school, and I remember my first week at work, that all the adults that were on staff at the pharmacy all wanted to talk to the customers about the weather and what season it was, and I just thought, that is so weird. Like, seriously, can adults not have more to talk about than what the weather's up to? Like, maybe they need to go and do a course on how to have small talk with customers that is not about the weather. I just thought, seriously, like, this is such a weird thing that adults do. And I made this decision, I'm not going to be one of those weird adults. I am going to talk about, like, important things or other things that, you know, you can chat about. And so I would watch these adults just, you know, go, oh, you know, it's raining outside. It wasn't meant to rain, and it's meant to be spring now, and, you know, what a shame it's raining. But, you know, maybe we'll have a great summer because the winter we've just had was so bad, and if we have a bad winter, then it's going to be a great summer. And I would just have these conversations. I thought, I'm never going to do that. Well, probably in my second week working at the pharmacy, I ended up being one of those adults that was just like, oh, you know, how's the weather outside? I haven't been out my lunch break, and, you know, what's happening out there? And then I, you know, want to talk about, you know, whatever was going on with mowing our lawns at home. And I'm just suddenly going, oh my goodness, here I am, one of these adults talking about the seasons and what season's about to come, and everyone's excited for summer. And I thought, you know what, in nature we have seasons, but in God we also have seasons. And I think that God has created us in the kingdom of God to go through seasons naturally, like we do in the world. In nature, in our winter, summer, spring and autumn seasons. But the seasons in God are a little bit different because they don't have an exact timing to them. And it'd be kind of nice if we could go, oh great, it's now June, so this is what we're going to step into in God this month. But his seasons are so not like that. And sometimes seasons in God can last for months and months. Sometimes they can last for years. And it feels like you're stuck in that one season. It's like, God, oh, just take me into the next season. But I want to talk to you this morning about discerning the seasons, because I think if we can discern what season we're in, instead of being discouraged by the season, we can actually find hope in that season and move on to the next one in the right timing in God. You know, Steve and I were in a horrible season. I would call it our season of barrenness, our winter season, our dark season of the soul. And when we were in Christchurch, Steve had lost his job. We'd moved house 6 times in 5 months. We were just very discouraged, and it was just like everything had been stripped from us. And after Steve lost his job, it was kind of like, well, you know, what's going to happen next? And I remember saying to Steve, I think in October we're going to know. And this was around like March, April. He's like, how do you know in October? I said, I don't know. It's like in my spirit, I sense that the seasons are going to shift and change for us. And I think when we have that relationship with the Holy Spirit, when we know Jesus intimately, we can discern seasons. It's possible to not just walk into every season going, I have no idea what's going to happen, or I don't know. And sometimes it is like that, but it's possible to be able to discern the season. And so around September, a man walked into the pharmacy with a prescription and his name was Happy October. And I was just like, yes, that is so cool. Steve, you know how I told you in October, we're going to know. God's just, I think, sent us a message that it's going to be a happy October, that our winter barren season is going to shift into a spring season. On the 1st of October, we got a phone call from the leader of our movement, Mark Tobias, saying, the pastors are moving on in Devonport. Would you like to come and pastor here? So we went from living in this apartment above our friend's house, where it was a two-bedroom apartment. Steve and I had one bedroom. Anna had this tiny little bedroom. It was like a little nursery that they'd built for their baby. So it was basically like a miniature bedroom. And there was no bedroom for Ethan. So he was sleeping in our walk-in wardrobe, which he slept in the wardrobe. It's like a story from Narnia, isn't it? He slept in the wardrobe for 9 months. And it was the first walk-in wardrobe I've ever had in my life, and I had to surrender it so he could have a bedroom. And we went from that to living in a $1 million villa in Devonport. It was like, whoa, this is a great new season, and we're loving this new season. But it's discerning which season am I in and not despising the ones that maybe not seem so exciting or seem painful or seem like, oh, everything's been stripped from me. And I remember having to remind myself in that season in Christchurch where Steve had lost his job, and we didn't know what was going to happen, and we didn't know where we were going to live from house to house, and going, God, I just want to be grateful for the things that you have given us, not what's been taken away, and just actually going, there is purpose in this season. There's stuff going on underneath the surface, and actually, yeah, being grateful for that season. I just wanted to take a look at a guy from the Bible who I believe went through many of these seasons, and he is an example of what it looks like when you can flow from each season being led by God. And I think the four seasons, like, this isn't in the Bible, this is just my opinion, just so you know. But if we could have the next. These are the four seasons, I think, personally, that happen in the kingdom of God. They've happened for me over and over and over. But I also see them all through the people that walk by faith, that they went through these four seasons. And the first one is rest. Going through a season of rest is so important, so important. Now, when I talk about rest, I'm not talking about Sabbath rest. A Sabbath rest is where you stop doing anything that produces something. So God commanded people to have one day off a week. We also need to have a Sabbath moment in our day, I think. That's why we have lunch breaks. And we need a Sabbath probably once a year where we just, well, at least once a year, we would just completely switch off for maybe a few weeks at a time. But this kind of season of rest, obviously that's not possible to stop everything, because seasons can last up to sometimes years in each season, but normally it's months and months at a time. In that season, you're still working, you're still doing things, but what happens is that you are in a place where things, it's like you have a slowdown mode, that things that were just crazy and hectic and overwhelming just suddenly slow right down, and you've got breathing room again. You've got time to reflect. So I believe David, I'm going to talk about David, he had a season of rest in his life just before his big victory came and he was promoted and favor was on him. His season of rest, he was feeding the sheep, and he would often lie down in the pastures while the sheep would eat, and he would begin to write music and poetry, and he would play his harp. And it was a whole season for him where he had that that breathing room, that time to reflect, the pressure wasn't necessarily on him. And that's how you can recognize if you're in that season, is it just feels like there's room, that you can still work, but that pressure's not there. The next season that David entered into was the season of fruitfulness. So he goes with his brother's lunch to the battlefield, and they're facing Goliath, and they're just all freaking out and going, how are we going to kill this guy? And David's like, well, I'll do it. And they're like, well, you don't have armor, you don't have battle training. And he goes, yeah, but what I do have is a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I know who I am, and I know who he is. And see, in that season of rest, he had got the resource and the identity and the courage that he needed for his season of fruitfulness. In every season, there is a purpose why you're going through that season. And the best thing you can do is say, God, what do you want me to take from this season? And be teachable in that season. So he stands before Goliath, he gets his slingshot and his little stones, and he flings and kills Goliath, takes his sword, chops off his head. Everyone's in this uproar. He's now a hero. He has now gone from being in a place of rest, sleeping with his head on a bale of hay in a field, to now being the biggest hero. And he has been told he now has to live in the palace with the king. He's in this place of huge luxury where he can have any food he wants, any wine he wants. He's also been given the king's daughter in marriage. He is in a happy place. He is in a place of fruitfulness and favor and blessing. He becomes best friends, the closest buddies with the king's son. He has got companionship and adventure and friendship. He gets put in charge of the king's armies. He's now a commander, and how you know you're in that place of fruitfulness is because doors open to you, and it's like your gift and your strength and your passions, they all just come alive, and it's like, I was born for this. That season of fruitfulness is such an awesome season. It's a great, great season to be in. It is favor and blessing. And it's almost like whatever you put your hand to produces results. But it's a season. And those seasons don't last forever. Because there's something on the inside of us that God is more concerned about. And in the kingdom, it talks about when you are bearing fruit, that God wants you to be more fruitful. So he's like, that's great, you're in a season of fruitfulness, but I want you to be more fruitful, because there's more in you, there's more potential, there is more influence that you can have. And so what does he do if he wants you to be more fruitful? He prunes you. Which in our heads is like, that doesn't make any sense. But we had this grapevine at our house at Wairoa Road, and it was an awesome grapevine. It was growing up our pergola, and it was growing up the side, and the goal was that this would fill the whole top of the pergola, and there would be hanging grapevines, and we could eat them in summer and live the Devonport life, you know. So it was like three quarters the way up the first pole, and it gets to autumn, and the gardener is told that he has to come round and he has to cut all of our bamboo hedge, he has to cut back the olive tree, and he has to cut the grapevine. And so he cuts all these things, and I come home that night, and our grapevine, which was probably up to like where my hand is, he cut it to this stump, which was like as high as my knee, and it was just this brown woody stick. He had literally pruned every branch. There was just nothing left but this tiny little brown stump, and I was so mad. I was like, he has ruined our grapevine. This is a stupid gardener. He doesn't know what he's doing. He needs to be fired. We had the most beautiful, you know, deck, and you know, when we came off our kitchen, it looked amazing with this grapevine. And now what are we going to do? Like, it's going to be ugly next summer. And that's so not okay. And anyway, I have my little tenty. And the months go by. And spring comes. And these little green shoots start coming out of this little stick. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. But, man, it's going to take years to get it back to that place. Well, it didn't. Then a couple of months, summer came, and this grapevine is just shooting up the side, and then it starts growing even further than it did the year before, and it starts growing along the top of the pergola, and then it produces grapes. And I'm like, whoa, that is amazing. There is purpose in our pruning season. But how do we know? So David is in this place where he's having all this fruitfulness, but then Saul, who's the king, gets so intimidated by David. He's just like, this guy, every battle he goes into, he wins. And everyone just thinks he's so amazing, and he's like the hero, and everyone is talking about David more than me, and I'm the king. And so he decides he's going to kill David. And so he cuts off David from all these areas that he's had influence and had fruitfulness, and David, instead of being able to just talk it through with the king, he ends up on the run. He's running for his life, and his best friend's trying to help him out, and his wife's trying to help him out, but he's on the run. And the thing with your season of pruning, when you go through it, you know you're in this season because things have to be cut off from you. It's incredibly painful. And there is no shortcuts. There is no, can we just skip the pruning season and go straight to the next one? It's not like that in God. Because in the pain, there's something that happens on the inside of you where you just have to surrender and trust God. That which is bearing fruit gets cut off, and that which isn't. And I think that's the hard part. I know for me, just going, God, this was going so well in my life. Why would you take that? But it's like, because it's bearing fruit, I want to see more fruitfulness. And you just got to surrender and trust me. You just, even though for those months you can't see anything happening, it feels like it's just a stick in your life, something is happening. And so David goes from pruning into barrenness. He just can't work it out with the king. The king can't sort out his jealousy of David, and so he goes from being on the run to actually living in a cave. He's in a place where he's just all alone. At the beginning, he's in the dark. He feels like, is there any hope going forward? His best friend comes to visit him once in the cave, but he's in that season where it's just absolutely barren. His purpose and his calling and his gifting is on hold. And sometimes in that season of barrenness, it not only goes on hold, it gets completely removed and it dies. But unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it cannot produce fruit. And so when we go through these seasons where there is death and it feels like everything has just been stripped back to the bare bones, that where there is just no life on that thing in our lives, it doesn't mean nothing's happening. You know, David, when he was in that cave, he got news that his closest beloved friend he had a strong bond with had died. He was brokenhearted. And sometimes we think, oh my gosh, can this season get any worse? Well, it can. And I'm sorry, I have to be the bearer of bad news, but it's a season where it just feels like everything is taken from us. Everything that means something, that's important, but there is a purpose in that. There is a reason that we go through that. And I just want to read to you from John 15. Because this is really the whole reason why we need him in every season. John 15 verse 1 says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. It's so important that we have that relationship, that connection with Jesus, because that's how we get through every season. We don't have to strive to push ourselves into the next season or go, when's it going to happen, and try and figure it all out, because if we're remaining in Jesus and we connected into him, then it's a natural thing that he will take us into that next season. A grape doesn't need to be stressed out about which season it's going to appear on the vine. You know, there's the guy that wrote that scripture, in every season, there's a timing, there's a reason, a season for everything, in Ecclesiastes 3. It was a guy called Solomon. Now, Solomon had an older brother, and he lost his older brother because of a mix-up in seasons, I believe. He never got to meet his older brother. He died because basically David went into a season that wasn't the right time. He forced himself into a wrong season. And yes, he had a relationship with God, but there's times in our life where sometimes we just think we know better and we just want to override being led by the Spirit. And I want to share you this, with you this story, because it's quite challenging but also encouraging. It's from 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 1. It says, in the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David was like, you guys go, you go fight the war that I'm meant to be leading you in. I'm meant to be fighting with you. This is the call of my life. But actually, I don't want to be in a season of fruitfulness and success. I want to be in a season of rest. So I'm going to decide that I'm going to stay home. You guys go do my season, and I'm going to just step into a season that I've decided. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. So this is while his men are out fighting. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him and he slept with her. Now she was purifying herself from her monthly uncleanness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David saying, I am pregnant. David is meant to be in springtime, in the season of fighting, of war. And he's chosen to be in a season of rest. And because of that decision, he's let his guards down, he's switched off to what his responsibilities are, and he has spotted this woman and gone, actually, I just want her. It's like he's not thinking straight. And so he sends for her, and he enters into a season of fruitfulness, but it's not the right season of fruitfulness. So he's sown a seed and it's produced fruit in this woman's womb, but it's not God's intended season. And so because that's happened, he then has to step into a season of pruning, where God takes away Uriah. He ends up sending Uriah into the front lines of the battlefield because he's like, oh my gosh, I've got your wife pregnant. How am I going to get rid of this guy? And he tries plan A. Plan A doesn't work, so he tries plan B and gets killed Uriah off. And he's one of the mighty men that ended up, he met him in the cave when he was in his barren season. Uriah knows David's heart and he wants to fight for him. And because David's got all his seasons mixed up, he's just in this like, I've got to fix this. So he gets one of his mighty men killed off in the front lines of battle and takes Bathsheba as his wife. And she bears the son because the seasons are all mixed up. It's not of God. And this child gets sick. And David goes into mourning. And he's praying and he's believing that this child is just, God's going to somehow fix the seasons and get it all sorted out. But he can't because he's already stepped into a season of barrenness, and God takes the child. And his wife's in grieving and their house is barren. And he's devastated because he just didn't keep that connection going that he learnt in the first season of rest, where he could lie down in green pastures and restore his soul and be with his heavenly Father and let him love him. Somehow that connection got broken and he decided what his seasons were going to be. So we've got to be able to trust God in every season. But the good news is that God is able. Doesn't matter what we've done, how far we have removed ourselves from his love and his grace, that he is able to bring us back and connect us again into the vine and bring life back and bring fruitfulness back. And our job is to trust him. Our job is to go, okay, God, this doesn't make sense. I've been hurt, I've been wounded, I'm in pain, and I'm sorry, but I need to be connected to you again. And David, after he committed adultery, he wrote a psalm and poured out his heart to God. And it's so, so real, so raw. But I love that above everything, he just wanted that connection back with his heavenly Father. And he says, have mercy on me, O God. This is Psalm 51. According to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me, yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. And it goes on. But I just love that in the midst of his barren season, he was able to sing. He was able to turn his focus back to his Father and go, I just want to sing. I just want to praise you. I want to get a right heart with you. And David goes on to be a mighty king, and he's known for having a friendship with God. Well, I just want to show you a clip of a woman that went through a really, really hard season. And it was just before they released a song that you might know with Brooke Fraser called The Desert Song. So we're just going to watch that short clip.
And whenever, this is a really exciting time in the church globally, and whenever we as the church are breaking ground and taking ground from the enemy, you know, we can be rest assured that there is going to be a lot of opposition.
About a week and a half before the recording, I went into labor. I was about 6 months pregnant with our first little boy, Max. Had him at the hospital, and he was only 23 plus 5, which is 23 weeks and 5 days old, so it was really little. But we had him and he was alive, and he was in the neonatal ICU, you know, where they're kind of taking care of him, and we basically spent a full day with him, and we believed and we prayed that he would be okay, but we trusted that God was in control. And that night he died of, you know, just being too little, basically. I was gonna sing an album before any of this happened. I didn't even think about the album until, you know, 3 or 4 days afterwards. But I just remember thinking when my name was on the, you know, rosters saying he was doing what, just thinking, feeling like I have to do it. And I actually remember sitting in the hospital right after everything happened and knowing that I needed to sing, that I needed to still do what I know I'm supposed to be doing, and that I felt like that was just a victory for us. Right now anyways, it's just choosing to worship all the time. That's what it is for me, because I don't always feel like it, and I don't feel like, sometimes I don't feel like singing to God. But I know that my circumstance in this season doesn't change, that God is still God. It doesn't change what God's called me to be or what he's called me to do. And he's still on the throne in heaven, you know, and he still rules, and he's still bigger than everything that I'm facing. I was singing, and I believed everything that I was singing, and I still don't really know why, but part of me just was still so, like, broken that I didn't. It wasn't like this huge rush of, you know, how it always felt when I worshipped, like the presence of God just, you know, flattened me. It wasn't like that. And I remember singing and not feeling that, like how I'd always felt before, and just going, I know that you're here, God, but maybe it's because of my brokenness right now. It was so, the cut was so deep and it was so fresh that I didn't feel like I felt it before, but I knew I just needed to keep singing and that it was going to be okay. And I just kept singing, and then when we got to album night, it was the first night that I think I felt presence of God, like I knew him, like I'd known him before.
For Jill and I to sing together on the night was such a privilege for me, and as her, you know, aside from, you know, her being an amazing worship leader and being anointed and carrying the authority that she does, just as her friend and as her sister in Christ, I was so proud of her and aware of the weight of her singing that, and just kind of just feeling so, it was a real emotional moment, and just also being aware that her standing there and glorifying God in the midst of her loss and her tragedy meant that the devil lost kind of what he was trying to achieve.
Powerful story, hey? But Jesus promises that if we remain in him, he will remain in us. And that we can go through these seasons. It's possible, no matter how painful it is possible to go through it, and there's purpose in it. Even in the pain. You know, David, it's recorded that his last words in 2 Samuel 23, his last words are pretty powerful, and it's important to know people's last words often, isn't it? It says this. These are the last words of David, the inspired utterance of David, son of Jesse, the utterance of the man exalted by the Most High, the man anointed by the God of Jacob, the hero of Israel's songs. The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me, his word was on my tongue. The God of Israel spoke, the Rock of Israel, to me. When one rules over people in righteousness, when he rules in the fear of God, he is like the light of morning at sunrise on a cloudless morning, like the brightness after rain that brings grass from the earth. If my house were not right with God, surely he would not have made with me an everlasting covenant, arranged and secured in every part. Surely he would not bring to fruition my salvation and grant me my every desire. Isn't that awesome? His last words was that he was right with God, and that he absolutely knew that God wasn't holding anything against him, that he lived through his next seasons well. And I just thought it would be really cool, just as we close this morning, if we could sing that song that Brooke and Jill wrote together about in every season, you are still God and I have a reason to worship. I just love that line in the song. So if we could stand, and I want to pray for you.